College basketball fans, welcome back to the College Ball Show. I'm Chris, he's Marshall, and we're here to discuss college hoops. Now, obviously, basketball related, we are going to start the show talking a little bit about the passing of Kobe Bryant, his daughter, and obviously the seven other people that were on the helicopter. So we're definitely going to talk a little bit about that. We're not going to have a whole show on it, but we figure, hey, we realize it's college basketball. We also realize Kobe never played college basketball, but it's basketball. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. But on the show beyond that, we obviously will talk what happened this weekend. The SEC Big 12 Challenge ended in a draw. I think the most high-profile matchup. Well, it's kind of funny because Florida was favored on the road. Well, they were at home. Baylor was on the road. They were actually favored by like a point and a half. I think it fell to like a half. I think it was a point and a half at the beginning of tip. But the marquee matchup, I'd say, was Kentucky and Texas Tech. And that actually gave us a really good game down the stretch. We'll talk about a variety of other games that happened in the last couple of days. And then we'll look to some games, you know, midweek here, and also the Saturday, Sunday, Monday as well. We'll preview, predict, talk a little gambling as well. We like to talk gambling on the show as well. We do have the crappy pick of the week, which I'm not used to doing that in basketball, and I totally forgot to check. I just realized that right now. So we'll definitely get into that, though. But if this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show podcast, you can find it right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadope radio. However, if you want to listen to the College Ball Show underneath the Ropeadope Radio podcast, you don't have to just listen to it on Blog Talk. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Player FM, Spritzer, Sticker, TuneIn, all sorts of different outlets, including the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network. That can be found everywhere, including iHeartRadio, including Spotify. In fact, if you use your Siri or Alexa through TuneIn or Spotify, you can find both platforms to listen to the show. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. That's thegruelingtruth.net. It's basketball, it's football, it's baseball, it's boxing, it's everything in between. They got a great sponsor over there, betnow.eu, with the promo code TGT. That's betnow.eu, promo code TGT. And real quick, if you're thinking about cutting the cord, or maybe you cut the cord and you're not quite happy, you need some sort of cable package to watch sports and shows and whatnot, live TV, I got something for you should try. It's called AT&T TV Now. They have the 7-day free trial. It's live streaming cable. I do it myself. The plans start as low as $50 a month. Like I said, there's no annual contract, but there's a 7-day free trial that you can just try. You can stream it anywhere. It has the cloud DVR. It's available across the country in selected locations, whether it's here in Minneapolis, Minnesota, a chunk of California, Florida, Texas, New York, all the way up in the Northwest in Seattle and Tacoma, in the Midwest in St. Louis and Topeka, Wichita. So it's actually a growing brand. It's a growing platform. It's called AT&T TV Now. Like I said, it's live streaming cable. You can actually go right to the website, just Google it, put in your area code and see if you have it available in your location. And soon enough, I believe you will. Anyway, let's start out the show. Obviously, this is basketball related. Kobe Bryant, age 41, and his daughter, age 13, and the seven other victims as well that went down in the helicopter crash just yesterday. Found out about it, kind of looked around to see if it was true, just to make sure it wasn't like they're survivors or, you know, there was a crash, is anybody alive, that type of thing. Got some text messages, sent some text messages, and obviously it was just all so sudden. It's a shocker. You know, whenever it's a sudden death like that, it's one thing to get in an accident or something like this and go to the hospital and you're still alive, you're in surgery or something like that, or maybe someone, you know, picked up a disease that is a celebrity or somebody you know in your own, you know, personal life, whatever it is, it's just, it's somewhat easier to deal with when you've already kind of been warned about it. You know what I mean? Whereas this is just so sudden, no survivors, unfortunately, it's just right there. So it definitely was shocking. Really made me kind of step back, and this type of things make you appreciate life more, and you know, just kind of try not to take too many things advantage, you know, take advantage of stuff, and use every day to do whatever you got to do. But you know, you just got to enjoy life, because like I said, it goes pretty quick. All of a sudden, you think you live a full life, and then boom, and you could say Kobe Bryant lived a full life at 41. I understand age 41 is very young, trust me. But, you know, like I said, it's just sudden, and it made me think, you know, it hit me, not to the point where it brought me to tears, but it just had me kind of zoning out before work and just thinking it through and you know, as the years went on, how much respect that I continued to gain for Kobe as a basketball player. Obviously, late 90s and early 2000s, the Lakers, Shaq, and Kobe were in the way of my Timberwolves. And so I didn't like them. I'm not going to sugarcoat it now. I didn't like them, you know. But I always respected his play. And then once my Timberwolves, you know, traded Garnett, I started to even appreciate it even more because I didn't have, you know, a horse in the race, so to speak. Obviously, you know, Garnett went to the, you know, it still was against the Lakers, but I was really cheering Boston-wise. I was really cheering for Garnett, not the Celtics. But I look at certain things like his last game, which I believe is getting played tonight on ESPN. I look back at that and think I'm so happy that I saw that last game live. I'm really happy that I got a chance to appreciate that when he went for 60. And most of them, because of where he was in his game, were from the outside. He had a lot of people, like, rip him for taking that many shots. But it's like, dude, they didn't just let him get the 60. He had to hit a bunch of these shots, and it was a tight game. So, you know, obviously our thoughts go out to the family, and you can feel bad, you know, for a variety of reasons. But for all those who perished, their families, you know, that one family with the mom and the dad and the daughter, you know, they have the two kids now are just, you know, it's just them two now on their immediate family, which is just crazy. If you look at Kobe's wife, now he's got three, now she's got to, you know, raise three daughters. Not to say by herself, because she'll have plenty of support, hopefully, but you know what I mean? It's still by yourself in a sense. So that's really what you think about in general. Marshall, just what are your thoughts in general, how it hit you, what you were doing, and just, you know, the impact Kobe had on the game of basketball. I mean, the guy, I'm not worried about where he ranks, if he's better than this guy or that guy. Today, it doesn't matter. There's no debate. He's one of the best players, and clearly Michael Jordan was someone that influenced him so much so he admitted that he just took all of his moves and tried to perfect them as close as Michael did. And he did that exact thing. And even the way Michael would say something, you can line it up. Seriously, like a statement or after a game or before a game, or you can literally hear the same sentences as Michael Jordan. I don't know if you've seen some of those edited videos out there where they show a move of Michael and then they show a move of Kobe. And it's damn near identical. It's really crazy how well he adapted his game to be like Jordan and then take it to the heights he did.
Yeah, I was talking to some of my kids about this in school today. And, you know, you were actually the first person that texted me. And you had said RIP Kobe. And what I thought you honestly meant was I know that Kobe had just passed or had just been passed by LeBron in the all-time scoring match.
Sure.
Player. And I thought you were making some type of joke of like, man, Kobe can't believe LeBron passing. Like, they're probably talking a little trash because LeBron's Laker now and so on and so on.
Sure.
At first, when you said that, I'm like, okay, that must be a joke. But I'm like, okay, well, that happened Saturday night. It's now Sunday morning. Like, I don't quite know what's going on. And then I was like, well, hell, I'll go to Twitter. And at the same time, my other group chat I always go to, someone said something about Kobe. I'm like, oh, wait, no, that can't be real, can it? And, of course, you know, then you see the news and you see the conflicting reports. But at first, people thought it might have been all of his kids and all. You know, it's just, I don't know. It was weird to me. Like, obviously, the guy was massively important. I've been watching NBA games yesterday and today. Teams are taking a 24-second shot clock violation to start the game, and then they're taking an 8-second behind the court violation to pay homage to his numbers, which is kind of fitting, I guess, in the just in the sense of basketball numbers and his numbers. Like, it's kind of a hell of a tribute. But
definitely,
I mean, at the end of the day, you know, his family obviously would want him being there with him and not worrying about a basketball tribute. I mean, it's respectful, and you see all these guys in the NBA, like, just tearing up. And before we did our podcast right now, I was watching ESPN2 had the UConn women on, and, like, Taurasi, like, some UConn great women were just crying, talking about the guy. I mean, whether you liked him or not as a Laker, he was just one of the best players of all time. And I think the saddest part for me, just for like the real life aspect of it, was I saw Vince Carter's post game speech last night, and he was like, man, this sucks. He's like, I had talked to Kobe of late, and Kobe had told Vince Carter, like, dude, I'm at peace. Like, my being a gamer is over. Like, I'm teaching my daughter basketball. I'm taking her, you know, to courtside games. I'm teaching her the aspects of the game. And he's like, man, I've never been so happy. It's like, oh man, I'm a dude that went all out for his sport and made it so popular, and now when his life's good, has a freak, you know, fog accident. It's like, dude, that's not supposed to happen. That's not the way the world's supposed to be. And the one thing that I always kept thinking about, I guess, to wrap up my part, is all the times in my life I've heard one of my friends or anyone or yell Kobe, like, and then shoot the ball, or yell Kobe when you're throwing paper in the trash. Like,
yep.
And when I was on Twitter yesterday, that's what a lot of people are saying. He's like, man, think of all my friends I ever had yell Kobe and then shoot a ball up, or again, throw away trash or something. I didn't like the guy because I was never a fan of him. Cause all just from a basketball standpoint, cause you knew he was going to come down and hit that Jordan type of jumper. And you're right, he mimicked his game after Jordan, and he did a damn good job at it too. And I have one good friend back home in North Dakota who is a huge Kobe fan.
Yeah.
And I just messaged him and I was like, man, I'm sorry, man. I don't even know what to say. Cause as much as I loved, like, Randy Moss or Philip Rivers, Kobe was his guy. And I could only imagine being a Laker fan, how sad you would have had to be on top of the fact that you lost a great athlete. So it sucks. Obviously, with the coverage he's been given, his respects are, I mean, you can tell that he was beloved by the whole basketball world. I mean, every game is paying tribute really to point. Him. Yeah, I mean, I just saw the Detroit Pistons. They all had Bryant jerseys on to start the game, like, for the warm-ups. Like, it's shitty because the dude was an elite player and, you know, and was still doing more for basketball. And, you know, he made a couple of mistakes in life. So, yeah, you can maybe pinpoint some maybe bad choices, but overall for the basketball game, he was one of the best players ever and made the sport super popular. And just made kids buy into it and, you know, kind of become a bigger game across the world. Cause I think the sport kind of became more international as he was becoming really good. So yeah, it just sucks. That's all. I don't know what to say. The tributes are awesome, but obviously 41, man, that's only 6 years away from me. Like, I don't plan on having that happen. That's still a pretty young time to go. So yeah, rest in peace to Kobe. That's awful. And obviously people paying respect, that's all they can do. And with how sports are, man, with like the Katrina and the Saints and the Boston Marathon thing, it wouldn't surprise me if the Lakers won the NBA title this year. Sports have a weird way of tying tragedy, whether it be, you know, weather or shootings or something, into championships. So I think that little angel up top is now a Laker fan. If the Lakers win the title, it's only going to be fitting, just like the Saints have Katrina and the Red Sox with the Boston Marathon. Right. It's just weird how that stuff goes. I would imagine it's probably going to be a Laker title, which could probably help, try to help that city get over losing their star.
Right, and, you know, having AD and Braun helps with that too. But that's just some sarcasm there. But, no, you're right. That is a good point. And I really thought about it. I thought, you know what, dude? I am a little troubled. It had me zoned out. It had me thinking about a variety of stuff within my life and just Kobe in general and just different memories of him, whatever. But when I thought about, man, if that would have been KG, I probably would have shed a tear. If I didn't shed a tear, I probably would have not been able to, you know, clear my throat. Like that type of thing, the old lump in the throat thing. I really think that would have hit me, much like you said, your friend that was his guy and stuff like that. So, yeah, RIP Kobe, RIP everybody, obviously, in that, that crash. And obviously, just from the reports of it, it's pretty crazy, you know, how fast they were going. And they had just missed a mountain, they're saying, by 100 feet prior to this. And the driver thought he was in the clear after that, so he actually dropped from, like, 2,000 feet to, like, 1,400 feet, and that put him even more in range of what ultimately happened. Obviously, the fog was really bad, but, you know, we're going to get a whole lot of information about that, so we're not going to sit here and speculate too much. But, like I said, rest in peace to everybody on that. And you know, this type of – you do hear some ignorance as far as – why'd he take a helicopter? And, you know, I mean, the leading death, you know, I think cancer's catching up, unfortunately, but, you know, dying in a vehicle is a very common thing. So a lot of, you see some degenerates on Twitter talking about, oh, he should have drove. Yeah, that wouldn't have happened. Oh, okay. Sure. Right. Yeah. That's how that works. Go look at the numbers, dude. Trust me. It's more dangerous being in there. But, you know, it is what it is. There's not much you can do about it now. But, yeah, definitely rest in peace. As far as the college ball show goes, though, we're going to start talking college basketball. And that's why we call it the College Ball Show, for those who were into college football and like college basketball. We got a little blend there. We appreciate that. But that's why we call it the College Ball Show, because we go football to basketball. We take this all the way to April in the national championship. And since we're on basketball at that time, then we transfer into the NBA playoffs. So stay with us all the way to the playoffs, all the way to the NBA finals, all the way to the NBA draft, and free agency all the way to July. I mean, the way it goes, we may be doing, you know, shows all year, this NBA offseason, the way it grows like that. But anyway, college ball, like I said, the SEC and Big 12 have their challenge. It's a little bit different than the ACC and the Big 10. Where that usually comes in November or December or whatever. So it's mid-season, basically. And, you know, we had some interesting games. We had some tight games. I thought Florida gave Baylor a decent run. KU in Texas was respectable, I guess you could put it that way. There were some good games, no doubt about it. West Virginia looked really good. They blew out Missouri. Auburn beat Iowa State in a very close game, 80-76. So there were some interesting games, but like I said, coming into it, marquee matchup, meaning ranked versus ranked and all that good stuff. Kentucky and Texas Tech seemed like it was the closest, game on paper. And that's exactly how it turned out. Kentucky did survive in overtime to get the win, 76-74. Obviously, Nick Richards was just a stud. I think 7 points in overtime. He had 25 overall. But, yeah, it just came down to the wire. It was a very good game. Texas Tech had a small lead early on in the game. And it kind of looked like Kentucky had, like, a minor bit of breathing room down the last few minutes. I kind of thought, okay. I think they got it up to, like, 5 or 7, and I thought, okay, they're probably gonna pull away now. And Texas Tech, to their credit, they lost a lot of talent from last year. One of them being a Minnesota Timberwolf, but they grinded it out, tied it up. there were a lot of stops near the end of a game and not just timeout drawing up a play, but, you know, the stops with the looking at plays and all that and out of bounds plays. Sometimes, especially in the NBA, you don't see it as much as college basketball. The NBA, sometimes you're like, dude, are we going to review everything? But, you know, that's a rant for another day. But Kentucky got a big win going in on the road. We talk about how hard it is on the road in college basketball. Got a nice win, and it looks like they're on the up and up as far as midseason as we close into February and obviously March Madness.
Yeah, you know, that turned out pretty well. The Baylor and Florida game was kind of fun at first. Like, I was expecting an upset. I'd listened to some, I guess, experts or give their advice, and obviously the expert picks weren't that good. But a lot of people thought that Florida could knock Baylor off. But after about 10 minutes into the game, after Florida was up by 5 or 6 and Baylor took advantage, the game was over. I was actually impressed with how good Baylor looked. Florida had just dismantled Auburn at home a week ago or two. And then, you know, you get out a little, I think they're up like 12-5 or something early. I'm like, okay, Florida might go for another upset here. But this is a little different of a Baylor team than we're used to, just because normally the Baylor teams I've seen before that are good are have like a couple of long, athletic, really tall centers and a couple of decent guards. Like, this team can straight up shoot. Like, this is no joke of a team. Maybe they finally have found a way to put together star athletes with great ability and some guys that can play ball. Because that game they put together, man, I was impressed. That was that was a hell of a game of basketball. And, you know, I saw this article after Kentucky won. It's like Kentucky beating Texas Tech may now take Texas Tech out of the tournament. It's like, why, aside from the game itself, what really, we're not even through January yet, and we're having people write articles about, well, I think that might have cost Texas Tech their tournament berth. Well, that's stupid. That's like clickbait stuff, because we are so far away from anything happening. But anyways.
Especially when they can win the Big 12 and get there. Like,
yeah.
The tourney, you know?
Or, you know, or beat Kansas and, you know, beat a couple other teams. Like, that's such a just a poorly written article. I guess the guy must have been bored or something. One game that did surprise me that happened last Wednesday from the American Conference was the fact that Tulsa beat Memphis 80-40. If we're not talking football, where Memphis is high scoring games, Tulsa Hurricanes are actually tied for first in the American Conference, which, you know, if you're, you know, trying to wonder who the hell's in that conference, it's normally, you know, Wichita State, Houston, Memphis, Cincinnati. Like, those are kind of the blue blood teams. UConn, who's kind of rough this year. But Tulsa, like, I've watched them play a couple of games. They're actually a pretty damn good team. They actually beat UConn on Saturday. And if not for a dumbass foul, they would have won me a good chunk of money. But besides that.
But well, we won't get into that.
They're, like, I'll just say this. If you're up 3, you should not foul a guy shooting a 3-point shot if there's
that seems to make sense.
3 seconds left in the game. And, of course, the guy you foul is a 94% free throw shooter at home. Yeah, great decision. Anyways, but that's kind of a surprising thing. You know, we talked about last show about how, you know, if you're a college basketball fan, you kind of have to just take a peek into different conferences as we go. The American Conference obviously isn't a joke of a conference, but no one thought Tulsa was going to be tied with Houston at 6-1. They were picked to finish 10th in the conference, and they're tied for first. So a little surprising. And obviously, if you're Memphis, who's a pretty good team, I know they lost Wiseman, their stud, but you get beat by 40, that probably shouldn't happen either. And to tie it all together, Memphis ended up playing SMU on Saturday. And, Chris, that was a fun game of basketball to watch. You assume Memphis would be pissed off after losing by 40, and Memphis was basically in control of the entire game. But Memphis has that huge big named Princess Achiuwa, like a stud. He's going to be an NBA player, who kind of took over in the first half, disappears in the second half. SMU comes back from a 14 down to win. So I know last week I talked about the Big East, and I know now I'm talking about the American. But the American and Big East, man, they don't quite have the high-profile team names as we're used to, but another good conference. And for SMU, I know Memphis is ranked 20th. They took a great punch, and I think they're now 15-4. this is just going to be a really fun year, Chris, because in the last show I talked about how the Big East has like 6 or 7 tournament bound teams. The American now has probably got 5 or 6. And same thing with the Big Ten and the ACC, like I may not so much say here now, but a lot of power conferences are having a bunch of teams make their conferences really strong in the top 5 or 6 spots.
Yeah.
It seems like a lot of times in college basketball at this point in the year, you're like, okay, so-and-so is the best team in the Big East. So-and-so is going to lead the Big 12. So-and-so is the best team in the Big 10. We're not having that chat this much because a lot of these conferences, whether they're top named or a little bit of a mid name, they're all like pretty deep. That we're in for a really fun March with how these conferences have started off in season play so far, man.
Yeah, you're right. No doubt about it. And by the way, your North Kakalaka Tar Heels dig beat destroy Miami 94-71. Roy Williams captured his 880 career wins. That's a whole lot of wins. He passed, another legend there at Kakalaka, North Carolina, Dean Smith. Pretty good. I've heard he's a pretty good coach. I haven't done the research on him, but I've heard he's pretty good, that Dean Smith. Fourth all-time wins. Huggins. Huggins. Combination of West Virginia and Cincinnati. He's at 876, and he is now tied for 7th with Rump, the Kentucky coach back in the day. So definitely had some major, accomplishments there, no doubt about it. Louisville is really hot. Speaking of the ACC, they beat Clemson 80-62. They had a 20-0 run in the first half. They have 6 straight wins now. Couple other items. Dayton, we talked about Dayton for the mid-majors. We're talking about Tulsa and all these other conferences. 9 straight wins for Dayton. So keep an eye on that. Speaking of hot, Villanova, which we know they're a pretty good program. They won on the road. Not an easy place to play in Providence. They're 12-1 now in their last 13 games. So that's pretty huge. Like I mentioned, Richards, from Kentucky, 25-14-4 blocks in that game. Texas Tech kind of interesting here as far as home games. They had won 54 straight non-conference home games. Now, given, I'm sure a lot of those non-conference games were against just random, teams, but that's still quite an accomplishment. Speaking of home games, this is within the SEC. I talked about that Auburn-Iowa State game, 80-76, Auburn won. 14 straight home games that they've won. That's the longest active streak in the SEC, which is improving, definitely. And you talked about that SMU win over Memphis. They ended the game on a 15-0 run, dude. That's pretty damn
crazy. It was a hell of a game.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy, man. That is what a way to freaking go. Speaking of can't lose at home, Rutgers moved to 14-0 at home. They beat Nebraska. It was a tied game. I think it was a 3-pointer real late, like 1.2 seconds left in that game to get the victory. So there was a variety of stuff. We talked about some of those, just the Big Ten in general, how hard it is to win some of these games. And, stats have a way of balancing out to an extent, and we kind of expected some of that. There were some teams that actually did finally get over the hump. Maryland did beat Northwestern, which Northwestern really isn't the squad they've been as far as that pesky squad that, they're not going to make the tournament, but they're going to be good, especially on the road. Illinois beat Purdue at home. That was one that we were talking about as well. Villanova and Butler, I'd say, during the week, especially in the Big East, was a really good game. On paper, Villanova handled them pretty well, 71-67. Some other stuff that went on during the week. Seton Hall kept their streak going as well, 73-64 for Providence. Tough one for Providence. Iowa beat Rutgers at home go figure at home. So that Iowa's got some pretty damn good. They've collected some pretty damn good wins this year so far. If you think about, we talked about how Wisconsin, you can't really look at their record right now and act like you could say, oh, I mean, they're pretty mediocre. When you see who they've played and then who they've beaten, they're a tourney team unless they just fall apart. This one kind of surprised me, kind of didn't. I did pick Michigan State to lose at Minnesota, right, which that didn't happen yesterday. But they did lose to Indiana 67-73, and Indiana kind of needed a jolt. They have been kind of this year so far. They got a big jolt, so that was a big win. Maryland got a big win, especially at Indiana, 77-76, so they played them really, really tight. As far as, you know, within the Big Ten, is there any other action that you want to talk about? I mean, we still have some other Saturday games that happen, some close encounters, I guess you could say, as well.
Yeah, you know who has been impressive for the Big Ten is actually is Illinois. They're, I mentioned Tulsa being a surprise team on top of the American Conference. I don't think many people picked Illinois to be chilling up top of the Big Ten either. They played Michigan in a game that was pretty close. Illinois stud point guard had a star game. 27 points, 7 boards. He's been kind of their spark plug carrying that whole team. Illinois, for real. They've now won some actual games in the Big Ten, which is hard to do. They went into Michigan. Michigan got their good player back in Livers. And he also hit a buzzer beater, like you mentioned Rutgers doing. He hit a shot with, I believe, there's 3/10 of a second left. So with 3/10 of a second left in college, it's really hard to do much in that situation. But they've now won at Purdue, which is a super hard place to play, at Michigan, and they've also won at Wisconsin. And so we're talking about, you know, a Big Ten conference which favors the home teams a lot. You go and win three of your last four games on the road there. That Illinois must be for real, Chris. And this is a team who, I mean, the last time they were legit good is kind of going back to like the 04-05 time when they played Carolina for the national title. It's been probably about 13 to 14 years since they've been a legit threat. And I think they might be working their way back to that top of the Big Ten battle, which says a lot for them, you know, to be prominent again, because unless I've been missing a year here and there, it's been a minute since they've been on top of the Big Ten.
Yeah, you're right. In fact, I remember that year because Arizona had them beat. Arizona had them beat.
Yeah.
I think it was the Elite Eight. Was it the Elite Eight to go to the Final Four?
100%. Oh, yeah. I still remember. Yeah, I remember that game, too.
They had them beat, and in all my brackets, I had Arizona beating them. I just felt it. It was going to happen. You know, they were going to the finals. That was going to be – and obviously, you're going to get steamrolled by North Carolina. But, yeah, I remember that like it was yesterday. I'm working at this different restaurant than I am now. And I remember my buddy's like, oh, you got it, man. You got it. I'm like, just calm down, man. There's a lot of time left. Let's not talk about who got what. You know, and then I'd look and I'd be like, see what I'm talking about, dude? You can't count this out. And I mean, they might as well have just, like, used the MMA move on an inbound pass on one of them. That last inbound pass, I remember, was like, dude, I mean, if that's not a foul, what the hell's going on? In fact, I almost want to YouTube this thing after, but, man, it just unraveled for Arizona. But I do remember that. Yeah, it has been a while since they've been a high level. Sure, they may have gotten an attorney. They may have been okay, but you're right. It's been quite a while, man, definitely quite a while. And, yeah, I mean, these conference races are definitely heating up. And sometimes, some teams, whether they're upstart or bouncing back, like we just talked about with the Illini, sometimes it can look real pretty and look scotch-free type record. You just look clean. It's kind of like a boxer where you're 17-0, but he hasn't fought anybody. It's like, oh, it looks like a great record, but has he got hit on the chin clean yet? You know, that type of thing. And so I think we're going to start to see minor separation as we get into February, and obviously the next time we speak, well, not you and I, but as far as to the audience, next Monday, it's going to be February, which in Minnesota, it means that much colder. We're having a pretty mild winter as it is. It started out pretty scary with snow, a lot of snow and a lot of cold, but it's been real. The weirdest thing is it's been raining here a lot. It's been like one of the rainiest winters. And I wonder what that's going to look like for spring as far as the floods. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is we're going to kind of – we like to keep track of a handful of these major conferences and some mid-majors. I guess people – some may call the AAC a mid-major. But there's some teams in there that go pretty far. I mean, Houston for one of them. But just starting there, like you mentioned, Tulsa's still leading the pack, or at least tied with Houston in a sense, but not really. They're leading the pack. Wichita State right there, 5-2. SMU in Cincinnati at 5-3. We'll see if Memphis can hang around because they are at 3-3. Dayton still doing their thing in the Atlantic 10 at 7-0. You look at, you know, Rhode Island and Richmond and some of these teams, obviously VCU as well, St. Louis as well, Davidson as well. These are teams that make either a run, not even, you don't have to have Steph Curry, but they still make runs, all these teams, or they're just in the tournament a lot. You notice the name filling out your brackets. We come to the ACC, and right now it's Louisville, Florida State, and Duke. That's what it really is. I know that 6-2 and 6-3 is not that far of a separation, and I'm talking about Duke to Syracuse, but it feels that way. Louisville 8-1, have an extra game in there. FSU 7-1, 17-2 and 17-3 overall, so that's really good records. But then it is just all over the place from Syracuse to NC State to Virginia Tech to Virginia, Clemson, Pitt, Boston College. I won't even go as low as I need to find your squad. Sorry, but you guys got about 18 dudes coming in next year, so I don't think it's going to last long. But from 5-4 and 4-5, something's got to give over the next couple of weeks. And then I'll kind of park here at the Big 12 and kind of let you have your take on some of this too within these races here. Baylor, like you said, looks the team. They got, you know, a really good outing on the bench too. They only go about 7, maybe 8 deep, and that's really all you need to go in college basketball, especially in the tournament. But I think the leading scorer was off the bench for Baylor. But Baylor right now 6-0, Kansas 5-1, West Virginia 4-2, TCU 4-2, and then there's just a variety of 3-3, 3-3, 2-4. It is kind of weird to see Iowa State that low, 2-4. What are your thoughts on some of these races here? It's going to be interesting to see some of these upstart programs or bounce back years and what they turn into down the stretch this next 6 to 7 weeks.
Yeah, you know, it looks like for once the Big 12 is really going to be pushing Kansas for a title. Obviously, that fight gets a couple of their guys in trouble. Baylor does appear to be the dominant team so far in the Big East, which we normally have not, or sorry, the Big 12. That's normally has been a Kansas conference with who can try to throw a punch at them at the end. This year, I think if you watch both the teams play, Baylor's the best squad right now, which is something we haven't said for a really long time for that, which is enjoyable. Unless you're a Kansas fan, why not have someone try to go, you know, start to finish to win that conference, which we normally don't get to see. I think for the and speaking of dates, you know, I remember the first show we did, I was saying, you know, who is the best player in college basketball? The guy's name I keep hearing is that Obi Toppin for Dayton. So if we're looking for people to watch, if you can ever watch a Dayton game, their player Obi Toppin, definitely a unique, weird name, a lot of people believe is the best player in the country. I think that Miles Powell for Stephen Hall is pretty good, but apparently if you've not seen Dayton play, he is worth the watch. But to continue for the, as you said, the main conferences, we hit on the Big 12. For the ACC, it really is probably a three-horse race with Louisville, Florida State, and Duke. I think Louisville and Florida State are more skillful teams. This is not my bias talking, but just from watching how the teams play,
It would never happen. There'd be never a bias with a North Carolina fan and a Duke fan. Judging a Duke team. That would never happen.
I mean, Louisville beat him in Duke, not too long ago. So, I think that's kind of a three-horse race. If anyone besides Louisville, Duke, or Florida State won the ACC, that would deeply surprise me. I'm happy my boys aren't in the last place right now. We've creeped up from third to last now, which is
– there you go. That's pretty nice.
Minor progress. And for the Big Ten, like I said, that one, man, when you got the top five teams in your conference ranked, that's saying something. That means the conference is off to a really good start this year. Again, I doubt many people picked Illinois in the preseason. Sparty's obviously going to be pretty good. Obviously, Izzo's got a good team. They have another player who many could mention could be up for player of the year, and that Cassius Winston. Maryland put together that nice swing against Indiana. I know you mentioned that at the start of the show. Maryland finished that game on a 7-0 run. So it's hard to win games on the road, not to mention – going on a 7-0 run to win a game by 1 point. So the Big Ten should be a really fun conference to watch this year. I think one team that people are sleeping on, because even Rutgers is getting more credit than them, is Iowa. Iowa's ranked 18th. They got that Garza, who's a stud, too. I think Iowa's pretty damn good, Chris. They don't seem to get much coverage. I know that the ESPN always seems to love their football team. But yeah. I think their basketball team is ranked 18th in the country. Like, I don't think they're a joke. They're normally a team, normally in the past, who is an 8 or 9 seed and gets a 50-50 chance of making it past the first round of the tournament. This year, you know, they beat Michigan. They beat Rutgers, both at home, but still they beat Maryland. They beat Cincinnati. You know, they beat Iowa State, beat Minnesota. You know, I think this might be a better – Iowa team than we're used to, kind of like I just said with Baylor. You know, Baylor seems to be a couple steps above where they normally are. I think you can say the same thing for Iowa this year, Chris, where they're a little more advanced and maybe they're a potential Sweet 16 team instead of flipping a quarter to make it past the opening Thursday or Friday of NCAA March Madness.
Well, and Iowa's had, like, if you look at the last 3 to 5 years, they've had some big wins. They've had some great runs, but it does all of a sudden they'll go on a 4-game losing streak in that time frame. You're like, did they just get figured out? Like, are a couple of these, you know, did they figure out a couple of these players and then now they're trying to adjust? I don't know what it is, but I think that's why, whereas at least their football program has gotten all the way over the hump. You're right, because they haven't made a run to the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight, even though sometimes during the season, they've definitely had a squad that looked like a Sweet 16 team. They just haven't put it all together when push comes to shove. But as far as the Big 12, I do believe there's a great chance the back-to-back years with no Kansas as a champion after, what, 15 or 16 years in a row? We were so happy that happened last year. Nothing against Kansas, but, well, my co-host has something about Kansas. But nothing, you know, bad about Kansas. It's just, you know, when you win 15 years in a row and you're a sports fan, you figure, hey, give somebody else a try. You know what I mean? Anytime you hear Duke, Kansas, or Kentucky, those three, North Carolina, those four, those are the most storied programs. You're gonna hear my co-host say some shit to him. That's just how it goes. It's okay. It's okay.
I don't mind Coach Cal. You know that. I don't hate Kentucky. I hate Duke and Kansas for sure. Yes.
Right. 100%. Right. Now that is true. Yeah. So somehow you don't hate this crooked coach. Why? Because he doesn't have a killer on his squad.
Coach Cal. He just loves his guys. He's all about getting his guys ready for the NBA. He loves his guys. And also, I always love Calipari. He also has the great interviews on the day of Selection Sunday. That might be the best part of Selection Sunday now, is just to see how he's going to complain to the media about it, what draw his team got.
Right.
Have a couple of sarcastic kind of dickish comments, and it's always really good.
Even press conference or interview in general with him, there's always something in there that is entertaining. Yeah. That is a good point, no doubt about it. Moving to the Big East. We know Seton Hall is playing damn good, you know, right on their tail. 6-1, well, they're 7-0, 6-1 Villanova, and they're going up, 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 up. Butler's kind of leveled off now a little bit. They got beat at home. We're going to find out. Marquette actually played Villanova pretty tough the other night. Creighton's sitting there at 5-3, so it's still fairly wide open. But Seton Hall, man, they're playing really, really good. It'll be interesting down the stretch, though, to see if they can handle that Nova stuff and just everything. And just to, you know, add to your point about the Big Ten, I mean, you got 7-2, 7-2 at top, Illinois, Michigan State. And then three teams with three losses, Maryland, Rutgers, Iowa. Iowa has one less game right now. They're 5-3. But then you're just looking at that 5-5, 5-4, 5-4, 4-4. Penn State's still ranked their 4-4. So we definitely know that that's going to be a battle all the way to the end. Like I said, even at the middle of the pack, you're only two games out. Right now, the Gophers are only 2.5 games out, and they're 5-5. So that tells you a lot about that conference. What's the other conference that I want to try? Oh, the SEC. I like where Kentucky's going. Well, actually, I'll go to the Pac-12 first. Oregon, Arizona's 3-3, and they lost to Arizona State, who's 3-3. Arizona had gotten a big win. I was wondering if they're going to get over the hump and start playing really well. We'll see. Obviously, they've had their issues. Oregon and Colorado right now, 6-2, 5-2, and a surprise USC. And Stanford, I guess, too, 5-2 and 4-2. So we'll definitely check back in that one. But the SEC, LSU, no, not that LSU that won the national championship for college football. This LSU is 15-4, 10-1 at home, 4-1 on the road. We'll see, you know, how that keeps going as far as on the road record. I don't know who they've been on the road with, but we'll see. They're 6-0 in conference. Like I said, I think Kentucky is like some of these teams, obviously. Well, they're kind of the front runners when it came to this. Now you see Duke doing it and some other teams as far as having all these one-and-dones come in and having to mix and match. And you notice the last couple of years, though, they still have the one-and-done guys, but they try to mix and match with guys that either – are left over from the teams that are good vets or a transfer like we saw last year, a senior grad transfer. I think Kentucky's starting to put it together. They got a nice win, like we mentioned, against Texas Tech. So 15-4, and they're 5-1. And then you just don't know. Auburn's look good, but then they have been just okay, too. They got off to that great unbeaten start. And now they're 17-2, so we'll keep an eye on them. Alabama, who's got, you know, a pretty decent program considering, 4-2. They're an all right club. Tennessee 4-2, and of course Florida 4-2 as well. We got to start. Well, any of those teams or conference races or anything that I just mentioned stand out? I mean, we could have a whole segment on the Pac-12, but no one would listen.
Yeah, we can pass on that. I mean, at least they're becoming a little more relevant as we speak. But no, man, I think we've hit on the main ones. You mentioned the Big East, so I'll take a pause on that. I hit on them enough last week. I think I'm good to go. And like I said, I'll just say this. I think that this is going to be a really fun March just because, again, we have not mentioned a conference that has a star-studded team. I mean, you could maybe say that Baylor right now is the best in the Big 12, but Baylor has done this before where they may look really good and yeah, they kind of fade away. Sure. You know, so, I mean, I know that they normally haven't made the number one ranking, but this would not surprise me for this Baylor team to still get bounced out in the first weekend just because we've seen this happen before. I will say one last thing. A great win yesterday by San Diego. They've been really quiet and chill, but they're 21-0. And they're ranked fourth in the country. And they played a UNLV team last night in UNLV. So it was a close game the whole way through. I was watching a little bit here and there. They finished the game kind of like on a 7-0 run in a way. It was tied. They ended up winning by 6 or 7. I think actually they won by 6. San Diego's 10-0. They're 21-0 on the year. I mean, not that the Mountain West is quite as strong as they normally have been, Chris, but to be 21-0, that still requires you not have any of those, like, you know, brain cramp games like, oh, shit, what happened? Or, God, we're all Colts and I know can hit a three. Or however you want to phrase it, that's a legit team. Now, you can kind of give them the Gonzaga treatment of, you know, who have they beat, really, and that's a fair statement. But even with Gonzaga, as we've said over the years, you might not be the best team in the country, but you're not a joke of a team if you're 21-0. So credit to San Diego State showing they're undefeated. They're the only undefeated team left in the country. I think they'll be a factor just because they kind of have the reputation. They've always had a good coach. And they're not going to be that fade away in the first round team, I don't think, this year.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Tonight, in just a little bit, about 20 minutes or so, the tip. Wisconsin on the road at Iowa. I think Iowa's won four in a row. I think they'll win a fifth. I think they'll get that done at home. That should be an interesting game, though. Later tonight, you also have Kansas going to Oklahoma State. Right now, Oklahoma State just doesn't really look that good. It could be tight. You never know. And plus, they do have what's-his-toe suspended, but we'll see. I mean, at least that brawl had a little bit of contact. I'll say that. No, I'm just kidding. Well, I'm not really kidding, because sometimes some of these brawls aren't really brawls. But anytime, like, people get hit in the audience and that type of thing, that's obviously where a big problem is. You know, where it can be anyway. Then we have some games coming up. You know, some interesting games somewhat tomorrow. Nothing that really stands out. Speaking of Texas Tech and them being out of the tournament from whoever wrote that damn article, West Virginia is heading into town, on Wednesday, you know, facing Texas Tech. So that could be a really interesting game. I wonder how that's going to go. I might go out on a limb and pick Texas Tech in that one. I don't know. That's kind of interesting. And then another game, LSU 15-4. They're probably going to win at home. Alabama's okay. I'm just kind of keeping an eye on this LSU squad. How for real are they? But then one of the best matchups during the week before we get to Saturday and Sunday and that type of thing. I'm assuming there's not too many good games on Sunday. That'd be a dumb scheduling thing. Of course, maybe during the day before the Super Bowl. I didn't think about that. But a couple games inside the Big Ten Thursday night, Minnesota at Illinois, and then Iowa, tough road for Iowa, at Maryland. I'm really looking forward to those games.
Yeah, obviously, if you put a game on Sunday night, Chris, that's not going to do too hot. and we'll see. You know, do you think that, now that teams have kind of got a beat on each other, do you think that the Big Ten home dominance is going to fade away? Or do you think that something's going to kind of last throughout the whole year? Like, what? I mean, I know this is kind of just there's not a wrong answer here, but as dominant as it's been, will there start to be a couple more teams winning on the road in the Big Ten? Or is it just going to stay with the home dominance and incredible record all year? What's your gut say on that?
Well, I mean, there is a record. Or there is a correct answer here because it's going to play out. But sure. Yeah, I think we'll start. This last week we actually started seeing it level out a little bit. I mentioned that at the beginning of the show, and so yeah, I mean, sure they're going to win, you know, a fair amount still, no doubt. It's still going to be really tough, and maybe that'll be the difference in some of these ranked versus ranked games. I wouldn't doubt if that's the case. But I think just like this last week where they, you know, someone was able to win at Purdue, that type of thing, I think it'll loosen up rather than what we saw when it was like, I forgot the numbers last week and the week before, but it was like, whoa, what the hell? You know what I mean? Like, what's going on? That's intense. So I think it'll still be tough to win on the road because it's college basketball in general inside the Big Ten. Usually there's some pretty intense crowds or whatever, but I think it'll loosen up a tad bit where what I mean by this, just to be a little bit more detailed, a little bit more specific, the unranked squad. We've seen so many unranked squads protect their home court. Not that it won't happen, but I think it won't be as one-sided towards the home team and especially the unranked home team than it has been, to answer your question there. Iowa at Maryland. What's your thoughts on that one and who you picking in that one?
I think if you're Maryland right now, man, that their confidence has to be riding pretty high, Chris. I mean, that win against Indiana, who had just beat Sparty at home, like, man, that's something that can kind of boost the confidence. I think as competitive as the Big Ten is, I don't think the teams will have much of kind of a getting overconfident kind of win. You know, I think that if you were in like a conference that is top heavy, it's occasional you see teams after a big win, Chris, maybe sleepwalk into the next game. I think with Illinois, Michigan, your Gophers, like Maryland, I don't think you can really have that overconfident, like, oh, dude, you know, we got this one in the bag. I don't think this conference allows that to happen. I mean, because you look at right now, Penn State's the ninth best team in the Big Ten. They've gone toe-to-toe with almost every team in the conference. So right. In that game, I think it's too competitive. At least, and I know that college athletes have off nights. Just, hell, even NBA guys do. But I think that just with how they've been playing, I'm going to take Maryland at home just because their confidence is riding high. And as we just talked about, you got to give the edge to the home teams here in these matchups. You know, Maryland on the home court, I believe only has one loss this year. I was looking the wrong thing. I mean, they've lost at Wisconsin, lost at Iowa. Well, actually, Iowa beat them by 18 at Iowa. Damn. Well, I think there'll be some revenge back on the home turf. Because you beat Purdue, you won at Northwestern, won at Indiana. I'll take them to take care of business later in this week, and I think they'll be able to pull off the win against Iowa.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Like you said, to lose back-to-back, you go, oh, they lost back-to-back. Well, it was at Iowa and at Wisconsin. It'll be interesting to see. I think this is just an important win to secure in general, because then they got their next game is early next week. And that'll be home again, but it's at Rutgers or with Rutgers, so that'll be tough. Then they got to go at Iowa, and a game after that, two games after that, I should say, at Michigan State. So they're going to need to secure this win right here.
So it's a beast of a conference, man. Again, when your ninth best team, who I've watched play a couple times, Penn State, is like, I think, pretty damn good to the eye. Like, you don't get many bad nights. I guess you could say, okay, Nebraska, Northwestern are kind of gimme wins, but Rutgers, I think, was favored by like 15 against Nebraska. They took them easy, and they needed a buzzer beater three at home to beat them. So,
sure,
you really can't sleep on many games in the Big Ten this year, Chris. I know it's kind of a cliche, but they're probably all around the deepest and biggest conference in the country this year.
What about tonight, Wisconsin at Iowa? You think Iowa's going to protect that home?
I'll be honest. Like, I like to be. I haven't seen Iowa play this year, so I'm going off the fact that they probably have the best player on the court. They have Garza. That's their stud. Their home record obviously is very impressive. I believe they have one loss as well. To give them credit, they won at Northwestern. They beat Michigan. They beat Rutgers. They had one slip up at Nebraska. Penn State's the one team that beat them at home. So. I mean, it's hard. They got the best starting team they've ever
had. You're doing a lot of dancing.
I know,
but I don't hear a prediction.
I'm taking Iowa. they got home court and the best player. I will take them to win this game, and they're minus six. So that's
great.
You know, that's showing respect to Wisconsin, who, for a team who doesn't have the normal loaded roster they normally have, is actually been having a pretty good year this year as well, surprisingly.
Yeah, in Iowa, they're going for their fifth game in a row as far as winning. They're going to need it because they although it's home, they on Sunday, there is a game on Sunday that's a marquee matchup, number 19 Illinois at number 18 Iowa. But that's at noon Central. So it'll be plenty of time to, you know, get the nachos ready and all that type of stuff. It's kind of a biggie Saturday as far as early in the morning. God dang, 10 o'clock Central Time? I know that's 11 East, but golly. Xavier at Seton Hall, Creighton at Villanova an hour later. I'm really looking forward to see that. See if Creighton can just get a big win. They kind of need to get back on the horse. You'll get Michigan State, Wisconsin. What else we got here? We have Texas Tech at Kansas. That'll be interesting. God, Texas Tech's got a tough one. Oh, here we go. Okay, remember I said let's take a look at Auburn. You know, they were undefeated. I want to see LSU a little bit more, too. I want to see some more of them. But they were undefeated, Auburn was. Now they've lost two. And now they got Kentucky coming in to – what the hell is their arena called? I forgot. But it's a later afternoon game, number 13 Kentucky at Auburn. That'll be an interesting one. And then Wichita, who's ranked 23rd to the non-ranked leading team in the conference, which is – kind of silly, but you know that's part of this because they have six losses too. We can't just erase everything. Wichita State at Tulsa. So that dude, ooh, that's like six games.
That's a fun one,
dude. This is an underrated, sure, rank versus rank, no, but when Wisconsin and Michigan State play, do you really care about rankings? Rutgers at Michigan, that's not going to be easy. Dude, this is going to be a good one. Is Kentucky going to go on the road again and win in enemy territory? Man, this is a good Saturday we got coming up, even though it doesn't feel like it in the national media.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I mean, all those games you've listed, that's at least five or six good games. And that's, I mean, I'm sure we can obviously find a handful more. Kentucky, the thing about Cal is he normally has his young teams winning, like taking the bumps on the road now and working their way up, but they've been managing to win a couple of tough road games already. Like, they won at Arkansas, who's a really good home team, and they won at Texas Tech. So, you know, is this another year where Calipari is going to have another deep run? You know, normally the story's always kind of been, hey, you know, work the guys and have them, you know, work their way up the standings. If they're already winning road games, you know, I don't know. I what's to keep Kentucky from winning another one, man? You know, the one kind of cool thing, Kentucky's best player is a freshman. His last name is Maxie. I actually watched him play high school basketball last year. He played high school basketball right in the Dallas area. So it's kind of cool to see a guy that was like, you know, 7-8 months ago, you know, going all out for his high school team and, you know, obviously put in the time and the effort and the work in high school to get rewarded now. So to see a guy I've watched playing high school ball a couple of years ago is now leading Kentucky in scoring as a freshman. That's pretty cool. So just kind of an inside story there, but you know, he seems to be a step or two ahead of progress, Chris. And
yeah,
if you're Texas Tech on Saturday, the team that someone's already cast off the tournament, you're going into Kansas. Now, I know it's going to be a very hard game, but if you want to put yourself back on the map and find a way to pull off a win, you know, again, that's why I thought that article was so stupid. If Texas Tech beats Kansas on Saturday,
right,
well, all of a sudden they're definitely back, you know, in the story of being a tournament team or on the bubble or whatever, you know. So if you're a basketball fan, you're seeing people counting teams out already, it is way, way, way too early. We're not even – like, we're maybe not even midway through conference play. Don't start giving up on teams now because an injury can occur or, you know, a guy comes back or, you know, whatever can happen. A team can make such drastic changes in the season. So if your team right now is struggling in conference, there's so much more time to go for them to work their way back up. Like, for Carolina, especially just for my team, like, Carolina's normally always been a pretty bad defensive team throughout the year. And Roy Williams gets the guys better at defense by the time it comes to March. So you shouldn't cancel too many teams out this year, Chris, unless your team's like, you know, 5-15, then your year's over. There's so much time for player growth and coaches working lineups and all that stuff to cancel really any team out.
Nice. That's a good way to put it. And that's close to wrapping it up. We will do the crappy pick of the week, which my co-host just blindly, and we're talking about 150 freaking games. He's really blindly giving me a pick, and I just pick it. We've done this numerous years now for college football. We have been doing really good with it. So, like I said, give me a little time. Give us a little time to figure this out. I forgot about it until I brought it up on the show, and I'm like, last week it was – who the hell was it? It was – and then I, was it – this was Holy Cross involved in this?
Yep.
Yeah, buddy.
What a game we picked, man. I'm telling you. We're off to a hell of a start to pick a game of two garbage bleeping teams, and it goes into overtime, a 96-95 win. Now, did you take Holy Cross? Did you take the Crusaders?
No, I didn't crusade, dude. I didn't crusade because remember I was saying religious stuff. I'm pretty sure I went against that. Who's the other team?
Right. That's Lehigh.
Lehigh.
The Warhawks.
Lehigh.
Yeah.
Yep.
But let's see from a gambling standpoint. I'll look up the spread, see if we cover it. I'll check it out.
I don't believe
but
so.
But yes. We picked a hell of a first game. Oh yeah, because I think Lehigh was the favorite. Okay.
Yeah.
So we're one under the belt. We're 0-1. Ken, this is the guinea pig year, you know, because we're normally doing this for college football. I love this segment so much, let's do it for basketball. Chris, I found a doozy. It is in the MEAC conference, M-E-A-C, M-E-A-C. Coppin State is traveling to Delaware State. This game is Saturday at 1:00 Central Time. 1:00 Central Time, Dover, Delaware. Coppin State traveling to Delaware State. Let me give you the stats as my co-host looks up these numbers, because this game is just pure trash. The Coppin State Eagles are 5-16 on the year. They got 5 wins out of 21 games. That's pretty
bad.
They've
had a tough schedule, though.
They're 1-5 in conference. They're traveling to Delaware State Hornets. I mean, their logo kind of looks badass. Delaware State is 2-16, 1-3 in conference. I think they're so shitty, they did not schedule non-conference games as much as other teams have to. Because most teams by now have played 20 games this year. They're like, you know what? We suck. We're going to cancel some games. We're just not going to play unless the NCAA says you got to play 12 non-conference. We're playing 10, boys. And I can't blame them. 2-16, 1-3 in conference. We have a guy named Crosby.
Crosby
averages 21 points
a
game.
John Crosby can light up the scoreboard.
Can he transfer to Carolina midseason? Could we take a guard from Delaware State to kind of fill in for Anthony? I don't know. It's an option. These scores they've been putting together. Have you found the game, my friend?
Oh yeah, I found it.
All right, I'm gonna let you break down this. And this is at Memorial Hall. That is such a cliche, lame stadium name.
Like built in 1919, you know, like.
It sits 3,000 people. I mean, the gym at my high school sits 2,000.
Right.
And so.
So you're saying this can be a pretty intense. This is a pretty big arena, is what you're saying.
If you fill up the whole place with 3,000 people cheering, yeah. But Chris, I'm going to assume when you have two teams who've won a combined 7 out of 34 games, I'm guessing we maybe get 1,000. Actually, I'm going to say 800 people in attendance. 800 out of 3,000. Break down this incredible MEAC matchup, my friend.
Well, they got to put about 7 dudes on John Crosby because obviously he's a baller. That's a given. I mean, the team averages 70 points and he's got 21.5 of them. The problem for them is they're giving up 84. How do you give up 84 points? I don't know how.
That's really, really bad.
It is, and 70 is a pretty respectable offensive number, but we all know it's because of John Crosby. And he's doing all the work there. And they should start paying him, is what I think, but I don't want to get him in trouble. So we actually don't want him to get paid. You know, Delaware State, what are they, the Hornets? Yeah, yeah, you're right. That is a cool logo. I mean, in a cheesy way. You know, it's tough to win on the road, especially when if you got it packed, you're looking at about 3,000 people. They're right on the court, though. That's the thing about the high school gym, dude. You're right on the court. It's a whole different ballgame. I mean, you think Duke's a tough play. You think they're on the court. I mean, these Hornets. Okay, I'll stop.
Now, let me ask you, Chris. Is it fair to say that the fans in this game have a better situation? Because let's say you go to a game at Purdue. It is just a mesh of noise. Yeah. If you go to a game where there's 800 people and someone starts talking shit, they might get in your head. What's to keep a fan from getting in a guy to get, you know, if you start
That's
talking trash, the guy's going to hear you. I'm just
but
saying.
I think everybody else will, too. That's the problem. You'll get kicked out. They'll be like, all right, I hear it, too, damn it.
Yeah, that's true.
I was thinking, you know what I was thinking? I thought you could get some homework done is what I thought you were going. I thought that's the angle you're going with. Like, oh, you can read a book, get some homework done, peek up at the score, you know, see how they're doing. You know, wear a Hornets t-shirt. Long story short, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, this kid, John Crosby, who's got like the most like basic name, John Crosby. He's going to put up 30, but it won't be enough. Cop State, the Eagles are coming into town. Coppin State is going to chop down the Hornet tree, the Hornet nest.
Well, I always do like to wrap this up by if we were comparing the mascots, if the mascots were to have a fight, I do think a swarm of eagles would probably be able to avoid or just smush and kill a bunch of hornets. I think that's how that would go. So
we
got our second pick in of the year. This really is a pretty trashy matchup. We were finding a lot of crappy basketball or football matchups this year. This ranks right up on there with the Akron and Rutgers football. So
and we know our trash.
We do. So Chris and I'll be back next Monday. As he said earlier, we have a hell of a Saturday. Now, again, the incredible thing about college basketball is if you're wanting to gamble, enjoy the sport, just like watching basketball in general, you always have a great game pretty much every night. Fridays used to be kind of slow due to just being Ivy League, but even then, the sport, as Chris mentioned in our last podcast, Friday nights really aren't that bad anymore. You're going to find one or two good matchups of a Big Ten or a Big 12 or an ACC. You know, there's really not a bad night to watch college basketball. I know sometimes Sundays can be kind of slow with Friday nights, but overall, you're getting a lot of good hoops. The conference races, I think, are going to stay a mess because that's how they've been. So we're looking for a really, really fun March. And I was looking for something to do because I have that spring break week off, but it's the week before the March Madness starts. The American Conference, which is the Memphis, Cincinnati, and all of them, that tournament's actually being held in Fort Worth. So I think I'll be giving some insight. I think I'm going to go to those games for my spring break.
Nice.
Fork out some cash, go watch Memphis, SMU, Tulsa, Wichita State. It should be actually a pretty fun tournament. So I'm going to throw down some money, go watch a lot of those games. So down the road, but it's something I'm kind of looking forward to. So until then, if you're living in a cold state, stay warm. Enjoy basketball, have some drinks, and have a nice weekend. The boys are out tonight. Peace.